Hello and welcome. Welcome to our inner healer gathering. For a date stamp, it's March 26th, Wednesday, 7 p.m. class. There's lots to talk about. Lots has been coming through. One of the things I just got a note, another notification, shocker, shocker, right? Because there have been like 500 notifications in the last 48 hours, is we're having another G1 class storm to kind of marry up to the G2 storm that we had, and the G3 storm, and the huge hole that's opened on the side. I mean, like, it's huge. I saw a picture of it, and it's earth facing, and it's so, like, when you really tune to everything that is taking place right within our reality. And you put it together. You have to be able to see it. You have to be willing to see it, right? And that's a number one. But when you put it together with everything else that's taking place, and like we're going to talk about lightly the planetary actions with this Aries solar eclipse that's going to take place on Friday or Saturday. And when you put it all together and you look at it, you can't deny that it's all happening at the perfect time, in sync with each other, as if it was a symphony created that is now being played, in concert, and all the key players are doing their part to make the symphony what it needs to be. I mean, it's just mind-blowing how it's playing out. So rather than bore you with all the details of the, solar eclipse, because you're going to get that. You're going to get that in 1,001 places. I don't have to share that information with you. All you have to do is tap into any social media platform, and there's a bazillion influencers talking about the solar eclipse, and you can pull in who you align most with as to what they're saying. But key takeaways I wanted to give tonight so that you can really have a better understanding of why we talk about the planetary actions here. And we're going to see this very dramatic movie that we're in, this very cinematic, climatic, right? It's like we're in the climax of the crescendo of this cinematography that's about to take every award out there, right? It's like it's that intense, because of the eclipses that we're in and how the planets are playing, interacting with them. So what I wanted to go over are the key points of what we need to know. And then you can take anybody out there, anybody's information on the eclipses and your sign or anything else, and you can make better use of it. You can have better understanding to it, right? So I just made some notes that I felt were like key talking points here. So we're going to go through those and talk about why this time right now is such a pivotal time. It's such a key time on the earth, and we all want to really pay attention to what is transpiring in order to maximize our experience within it, right? But first, before we get going, I want to touch on a couple things, because I know I will get going because I feel the energies coming through already, in case you guys are not feeling it channeling through me. Today is a very different energy coming through. But so what I want to share with you first and foremost is that Joe is doing phenomenally well in the academy, And I know we're all rooting for him and we're all excited for him. And, you know, he's got a long 6 months because they're not letting them leave on weekends. And it's like, you know, real police academy type stuff. And he is, you know, already an attention getter because of his vast knowledge of everything outdoors, right? And so I just want to share that, like, as a proud mama bear who's been with him for 10 years, coaching him and getting him ready for this. If we look at how Joe managed this, you know, he came to me and he was ready to give up on life because he was not happy with his life and where things were going. His truck was giving him a lot of problems, you know. And he probably, I mean, he said it, he laughed. He said, you know, he thought my philosophies were a little out there, but he knew he had to try them because his brother had such success with coming to me for his spiritual work. And I believe Liz had referred him, or Liz's daughter had referred him to me. And he was a student of Pat Longo's, Teresa Caputo's teacher, right? And when he came to me, he said, I didn't learn any of this stuff. My mind is blown with the stuff that you're sharing with me, right? And I'm like, wait, no, you didn't get this in her class? Like, that's shocking and surprising. So Joe just felt like he needed to just trust the process, right? And so I remember the very first day, and you're going to laugh at this, the very first day when he came to me and he said to me, I want to be a cop more than anything else. I want to be a cop. And I said to him, you know, I'm just not feeling cop for you, but I see you doing something like a park ranger, right? Something outdoors. And he was like, a park ranger? I don't want to be a park ranger. They're pansies or something like that, he said. And I'm like, no, I don't see you being a cop. I see you getting steered away from it. And so he tried for the police force in New York, and he didn't get picked. He got rejected. I think he got rejected twice. He applied. And so he didn't get in, but you know, what I had said about him becoming a park ranger had kind of stuck. And I'm like, I just see you outside doing something like a park ranger. I didn't know there was something called a game warden, right? Fish and game warden, wildlife, conservation, whatever. Had no idea that they had something like that and it would be down here in Florida. Had no idea. But what happened was, is as the years went on and everything started to progress and his family decided to sell the business and things were changing for him. He wasn't sure where he was headed. And I said to him, well, if you didn't live here on Long Island, because I see you moving, where would you want to live? And he's like, well, either Florida or Illinois. And I said, could you work in either of those places? So he thought about it for a second and he was like, I could work in Florida. I know a guy who's got, you know, he's got a boating business. He takes people out fishing, whatever. He definitely would give me work. And I said, okay, well, start to look into that, follow that path, start to look into it, look at houses in that area, whatever. And the next thing you know, Joe is moving down to Florida, and now he needs to get his business up and running, whatever that's going to be. And I said to him, you know, you really should call it Everything Outdoors because that's pretty much what you're doing, anything and everything that's outdoors. So this is how Joe came to be. And through that, when he set up his house here, the first thing that happened was he, through the you know, people that he was connecting with, through the captain that was giving him his overflow of work that he couldn't do, he had met this guy who did alligator trapping. And so Joe was like, I would like to do that because Joe will try anything and see how that sticks. And so he bought the business and he bought the processing center, brought it here, put it on the property, and he started trapping alligators for the county and getting his chops up on that. And then people were asking him if he could process their deer and their hogs and all this other stuff. So Joe started to get known in the community as being able to do that, and he started to know like the ins and outs with what was taking place. And then he happened to run into a guy who just happens to be a game warden, and he started to become friendly with this guy. And the more friendly he became with him, the more intrigued with the game warden. And I remember saying to him one day, I was like, isn't that kind of like a park ranger? And like his mouth dropped open, right? Because like, when you're intuiting something, when you're getting a download of information, it's like playing the game of Pictionary. Sometimes it's Pictionary, sometimes it's auditory and you can hear it. Sometimes it's a feeling, right? But it's not always the exactness of what it is. So he left and he said, yeah, kind of, sort of, except more exciting, obviously. And I was like, yeah, it sounds like it's more exciting. And so the more he looked into it, the more friendly with this guy he became. He just knew that that was like his calling and that was his path. So fast forward to now, Joe was in the police academy and he just got a 98 on his test. And he is, really excelling. This is his divine path. It's what he's here to do. I saw it 10 years ago, but didn't know that there was such a thing called a game warden. Otherwise, I might have said that instead of park ranger, right? But this is what it looks like when we follow the pathway. It's kind of how I got down here. If most of you know, I was kicking and screaming to the idea of Florida being my pathway. And I was like, no, 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 no. And the excuse I had was like, well, if you don't even have 5G, I'm going to do what you're doing all the time. Because those of you that remember that when Joe was on the calls, he was constantly dropping the signal and it was not clear. You couldn't really hear him. And then, I was looking at houses, had other people looking for houses for me as I knew I was leaving Stony Brook. And one day in a session, I was like, where are you? The last couple times I've talked to you, your signal is so clear. Where are you calling me from? And he was like, because we started doing phone calls because he couldn't do Zoom anymore because he was on the move so much with trapping alligators and everything else. So he was like, well, I'm home. And I was like, how are you home? And he was like, oh, I didn't tell you I got 5G. That was the last card on the table that was just taken away. So, like, I knew the path was down here and I couldn't say no, right? And it's just been in flow ever since. It's just been what I would call destiny, right? To be here and line up with everything that's presenting. So when we're in our flow and we're on the path of destiny, everything just starts to align, right? And everything starts to line up, and we don't really have to do much. There's not a whole lot of efforting that's involved in this. And so that's where we are now. We are lining up with destiny. And how that's happening is between the solar activity, the geomagnetic storms, which are completely out of control. I woke up this morning to four more notifications. There's been a few notifications today. There were notifications all day yesterday. It's just been insane and intense, and it's all Earth facing, which means that the Earth is being blasted awake or blasted open, right? So we have to look at that and take that into consideration with everything else that's happening on the earth this time, right? In the path that we're on, and how these eclipses are lining us up with our destiny, and how fitting it is that this eclipse, this is a solar eclipse in the sign of Aries, that has Neptune going into Aries. Aries is very fiery, right? Neptune is the dreamer. It can be foggy. It can have rose-colored glasses, but it was in Pisces. And in Pisces, it can make the wounds look worse. It can make the emotions of what is presenting worse. It can make us feel the victim more than anything else. And that is interesting for me because we're coming out of the age of we're coming out of the age of Pisces, the lead age, and going into or are in the age of Aquarius, the golden age, never, ever, ever to return to the age of lead again. We're done with that story on the earth, right? And we've done that story 26,000 years, some, I don't know, a couple of hundred times as we've played that out and allowed ourselves to participate in these victim collectives through our existence or through our ability for incarnation through the karmic cycle that we've all played in and all interacted with, right? Which is now finally coming to an end, and we don't have to participate in that way anymore. So this is calling us, this energy is calling us to our destiny. And these eclipses that we've been having, especially this eclipse, this solar eclipses are like a huge spotlight because it's the sun, it represents the sun, right? And the solar eclipse is like shining this spotlight down on your life. And wants you to see whatever it is that you have not been paying attention to, whatever it is that you have not been conscious of, and allow yourself to see it, own it, and shift it. Because the key role of this eclipse is a shift in consciousness on the earth at a collective level, right? And it's through the essence of hope. Now, this class, this community, because we've been in high level flow for such a long time, and all of you know that you have to uphold and maintain your vibration in order to navigate what is presenting, and have the best possible experience that you can, right? You understand this. This community is, in my opinion, superlative compared to so many other communities that are out there. And I get an opportunity every so often to sit in and join, right? But those of you that are in this community that are creating your reality have a greater awareness. Even if you don't sit in that awareness all the time and you have a moment of unconsciousness, I have them too, but I catch myself super fast. The moment I'm unconscious, I'm back conscious again, right? That's how fast it happens. Sometimes we'll go unconscious and we don't realize we've been unconscious for 5 hours, and then all of a sudden we realize and we bring ourselves back to consciousness again, and we recognize, wow, I was unconscious for a long portion of my day today, right? But for the most part, everybody in this community has a deeper awareness and understands that in order to deepen our experience in the highest way, right, in the fullest sense, we have to go within. We cannot go outside of ourselves. In other words, we could pay attention to someone else who wants us to do, you know, whatever. Like, let's take law of attraction because it's a big one out there, right? Who wants us to put up the vision boards, who wants us to say the mantras, right? And now, if you've been doing the work for a long time, you know that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because there's something missing from law of attraction. And I've talked about this a thousand times, right? We know that the key elements missing from law of attraction work, as it's given, right? The secrets to law of attraction do not give you the real secret, because if everybody knew the secret, then we'd all be ascended masters, ascended right out of this game of the earth. And then there would be no need to participate in the solar eclipse of Aries that's taking place, right? Because we wouldn't need to do that, because we'd be an ascended master and we would already know and be in that dynamic. But we know it's not the case. We know that we can't create a vision board and then sit there and look at the vision board and wish to have that car, or want to have that car, because it doesn't work that way. And we know this. So we practice intention. We practice connecting to the divine within, so that we can create what it is that we desire in our life, right? But if we're doing it somebody else's way, if we're paying attention to somebody's suggestion that we create a vision board and we pay homage to that vision board every single day, right? We're missing the deeper part of the work. We're missing the part of the work that brings us within, because now what that's done is that's focused us outside of ourselves. It's given us a pathway outside of ourselves, so that we're pointing to the outside. And we all know from the talks that we've just had for weeks and weeks and weeks that the outside is only created through what we hold inside, right? So if we're not holding anything inside, and we're leaving that suspect to what is in flow or what is in play around us, then in any given moment, imagine the field behind me is energy. This is a belief system floating by. This is a belief system floating by. This is a belief system floating by. This is a belief system floating by, right? Are you getting the picture? We have all these belief systems that are floating by, right? And they want to land. They want to land. And if we're not high enough vibrationally, well, this one is gonna, it's gonna become us. And then we're gonna align with this one, because we don't know that we don't have to, right? But we're in vibrational alignment to the vibrational frequency of this belief system. And then we start looking to the vision boards, and we start looking to the mantras, and we start doing that work, and we're frustrated. 6 months goes by and we're like, this doesn't work. It's not working. I must be missing something. And yet the person that is teaching us is talking about how they just manifested $20,000, $50,000, right? And it leads us to question the validity of that, right? Now, for those of us who are super old school here, those of us who are super old school, that were back in the day of Louise Hay, like when Louise Hay was still alive and writing all her books and doing her tours, the I Can Do It conferences, which I did attend, okay? One of the things that stuck with me back then that Louise Hay said was, you can't scoop a beautiful cone full of ice cream, right? Like your favorite ice cream. I'll take vanilla bean, please. You can't take a scoop of vanilla bean ice cream and put poop on top of it, because that's what we do when we say a mantra, but we haven't done the inner work to remove the ideas, the thoughts, the words, the beliefs that we're using to create the reality, right? In other words, we create this be we want to create this beautiful reality that looks like vanilla bean ice cream, but we're using mantras and we're using a vision board, and it's not getting to the root of the issue. So all you're doing is frustrating yourself, and it's just like putting a scoop of poop on that great ice cream that you have. At the end of the day, you have a vanilla bean ice cream cone with a scoop of poop on it because you can't avoid it. If we're not doing the inner work to get clear on the idea of the manifestation, on the idea of the intention. Okay. So it's really important for us to understand at this stage of the game, and we've talked about this so many times, that what's taking place now is even bigger than what we talked about last year at this time. It's even bigger than the last series of solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. It's way bigger than, Y2K, right? Remember that when they were like, oh, the computers are going to blow up and blah, 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 right? And then they wanted us to believe that, right? It's even bigger than that because we have the outer planets, right? We have Pluto, Neptune, and Uranus, which are the outer planets that govern the planetary action. The other planets that we look at all the time, right? Saturn, the taskmaster, right? It wants you to get the experience and get it right, right? Venus. When we look at our Venus tells us how we're feeling. How are you feeling? Oh, I don't know. I feel this way. Oh, let me look at your chart and look at your Venus. Oh, your Venus is in Leo. Yeah, you're feeling very fired up about whatever, So we can look at that and say, this is how we're feeling. Mercury, right? It's an inner planet. It's inner being, right? Inner planets are for our inner being. Mercury is how we're communicating. So we can look at where Mercury is or what's into interacting with Mercury. What sign is it in? Okay. But this is different because now the outer planets, the three major hitters of the outer planets are involved, and this is life changing on a global level. Okay. So we have Neptune entering into Aries on March 30th. And it's only going to stay there until October 22nd, I think. Yeah. And then it's going to leave October 22nd at some point and go back into Pisces, where it's not going to feel as exciting, right? Neptune in Aries is going to feel a little more exciting for us. But it's going to go back into Pisces, and Pisces is about the wounding. So it's going to have us looking at the wounding, and that's going to happen. Until January, right? So it leaves October 22nd and it stays until January 26, 2026. And it stays in Aries after that because all of the planets do this. They come in and then they go out and then they come back in and anchor in. It's anchoring in until March 2039. So it's going to be there for, I don't know, what's that, 13 years? 13 years it's going to be in Aries, right? And Neptune is about spiritual vision and the spiritual climate on the planet. It's planetary. It's an outer planet. It governs what happens on a collective level on the planet, right? So this is a super huge event. And it's these shifts that we're having are going to bring the biggest events, the biggest changes, right? Like seeing the school systems shift and the probably taxes and the medical system and all of that, right? Like them, and there might be other stuff too that we might not be so happy about, but it all has to change because the foundation that it's on is not one that is going to support the new consciousness of the earth as we are evolving ourselves through all of this, right? So this is on the level of personal, right? A personal shift on our part. Every single one of us is going to feel this in some way, shape, or form, so that it can bring us incredible insights and we can start to feel like we are lining up with destiny because we are in a time of destiny. Okay. And because of the fact that Uranus is one of the key players, one of the key outer planets, and it's, you know, if you've heard me talk about Uranus, it's, I'm always like, oh, expect the unexpected, unexpected good, unexpected bad, because that's how Uranus moves, right? It just likes to shake things up. It's about disruption, because when it disrupts something in your life, it creates change, right? And it's a planet that is about innovation and awakening. Okay. So the dynamic of this planetary action that is coinciding with this solar eclipse is very, very powerful because it's on a collective level. So it's not just a personal shift, it is for the good of the whole, right? And so when we look at that on a collective level, it's going to be about the wake up. It's going to be about a shift to consciousness. Excuse me, through insight, right? Through receiving insight. And I mean, one of the ways that this might happen is something that happened with me yesterday. I went into town after I went to the post office to mail a package. And I went into one of the local shops for like a almost like an acai bowl, like a fruit bowl, right? It's like a blended fruits and stuff with them fruit topping with a little bit of granola and a, you know, very, very basic. And the first it's the was the first time that I've ever gone into this place. In town, it's right in like a touristy area of town, someplace I try to avoid. But I went in there because I wanted one, or maybe I was led to go in there because I needed to impart some codes there. But when I went in there was not one person in there, which was baffling to me because anytime I've been in there, you can ask Loretta when she was down here by me, it was always packed and you were waiting a half an hour, 40 minutes for them to make your stuff. So I go in there, there's nobody there. The girl that's the owner is behind the counter. And I was like, wow, I can't believe that there's nobody in here right now. I was like, that's kind of crazy. Every time I've been in here, it's been like a half an hour, 40-minute wait. And she was like, yeah, I don't know what's happening. She was like, she said something. And then I was like, well, maybe people are feeling the effects of the energies. I was, you know, of course, me, I'm going into sharing mode, right? I'm like, maybe they're feeling the effects of the energies. You know, we have been bombarded with these solar flares and geomagnetic storms hitting the earth. And, you know, it's feeling overwhelming to some people. I was like, you know, headaches, kind of sleepy, foggy, groggy. And she looks at me and gives me this face, and she's like, well, I don't know about that. I would say it's probably because of spring break. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe it is spring break. So I waited for her to finish making my bowl. And then as she's preparing to hand it to me, she stops and she grabs a lid for it and she pops the lid on and gives me the spoon, the lid, and the napkin. And she's like, here, I made it to go so you could take it with you. So this is what we're talking about, right? The people that can't receive information and even, kind of try to assimilate it a little bit. And I was like, was I just kicked out of the store? Like, how? Maybe this is why she has no business. Maybe this is like her lesson, her wake up on how to interact or talk to people, even if you don't have the same, you the same thoughts or whatever. Like, I could receive that she thought it was spring break. I'm like, well, what do I care? Like, yeah, if that's your thing and you think it's spring break, yeah, have at it, knock yourself out, right? So I thought that was funny. So I get home and Julie, who I met through Joe, who makes this tallow body butter, who had bought me that big jar of body butter, messaged me to thank me for some help I gave her with her son and then somebody else who had like a pretty significant wound on their hand and whatever. And she was like, yeah, I really appreciate blah, blah, blah. I said to her, the funniest thing just happened to me. So I told her the story because she's been living in this area for 11 years. She moved from, I think she said Ohio, and her husband's originally from Pennsylvania. And I told her this, what just happened. And she's like, oh, that's not surprising at all. She goes, they're from one of the churches around here, the Catholic churches that, are very strict by the book, and anything outside the church is considered demonic. And I was like, oh, what? Was I just considered demonic because I was talking about the solar system? Like, how interesting is that? It was kind of funny. So she's like, yeah, they think yoga and meditation is demonic and all this other stuff. I said, well, isn't that interesting? I said, well, I'm going to put the intention out there that for her wake up, people come in and say, yeah, I had such a headache. I just couldn't get out of bed. I was feeling kind of achy, or yeah, I was feeling a little foggy or sleepy or whatever. All the things that I had said about the sun. And I'm like, let the people show up for that so that it can be in alignment with waking her up and making her maybe sprout some of those seeds that I planted for her, if it's so aligned in her destiny to have that. But I just thought that that was one of the most interesting things. And I was like, look at that. I was kind of used as a vehicle for her own consciousness and her wake up. And then of course, I was talking to Loretta about it, and Loretta's like, oh yeah, didn't you see all the religious books on the bookshelves around the store and stuff like that? I was like, I didn't pay attention because her and the guy that she, I don't know if it's a husband or boyfriend or whatever, but I don't know. I'd say that they're in their 30s and they both look like hippies. Like, they probably sleep in a, like a trailer, like a pop-up trailer or whatever. They do not look, they did not strike me as churchgoers, right? Because like, I talked to him, I didn't talk to her when the first couple times I was in there, but I've always gotten him, and he's like, yeah, dude, and then he's like, yeah, it kind of reminded me of when I was in Hawaii, dude. And I was like, okay, so this guy's like probably a stoner. No, they're both nefarious, church going, like, have no pathways other than what they see, like what they know. I just thought that was so funny. But see, this is the wake up. This is what we're talking about here. And it's so interesting that it was me that came in there with the exchange of codes. And I was like, all right. I was like, have a great day, whatever. And she probably couldn't wait for me to get out of the store because she thought like the devil just walked in. Can't make this stuff up, but it's just so funny. Like, sometimes when your light is so big and you're connecting with people who are on that level and their vibration is so low because they're brainwashed or manipulated in that sense. Like your energy really bothers them. 'Cause even just walking in and just having the conversation about like, wow, this is crazy that that there's nobody in here. I'm usually waiting for 30 or 40 minutes, just walking in there, I could feel like her tension, like I'm like, oh, my light is too big for her, that type of thing, which happens. It happens. And we have to all be conscious of that. But just thought that was so funny, right? So very apropos for what we're talking about. But this is also where spiritual knowledge is imparted. So whether or not she could be a receiver of it in that moment, she is a receiver of the codes, and those codes are going to hang out in her field until she opens the pathway for them to come in. And then everything changes because that's what's going to happen. And there will be sudden shifts. We're going to see sudden shifts that are going to just wake up the people that are not wanting to see, that are not wanting change, right? The people that are okay with the status quo, right? And how we could be in flow. We're either in flow and we're a magnet for success or abundance. I mean, another cute story is I go into Rural King, which is like, I guess, an Agway meets, what the heck is that other store on Long Island? I can't think of the name of it if anybody knows. But it's like a feed store for animal feed and stuff, and I had to get lasagna dog food and get the birds their bird food and seed and stuff like that. So I go in there, I'm looking around and getting all the things that I need, and go to the cashier, and we're at the point where like I become a member. She puts in my information, and so I put she puts in my information, and I go to tap the card reader and the whole system goes down. And she's like, oh, the whole system went down. I'm like, oh, of course it did. Honestly, and now she's got a line behind me. There's people on the line and whatnot. But this is Florida and people are not in a hurry to go anywhere. And they're going to use that opportunity to chit chat and talk. And that's exactly what they did. And I talked to her and I was like, thank you for, being so compassionate to the fact that the reader is down and we're just not able to move right now and everything. And after all was said and done, and she rang me through and I put the thing, she hands me re my receipt with a gift card, and I look at my receipt and it was a gift card for $10. So I guess for the machines going down, I got rewarded for my patience because she had given me $10 back. So I have a credit of $10 now on a gift card for when I go back. But this is the abundance, right? The body butter showed up for me. The gift card showed up for me. It's like the little things that are showing up. Sometimes it's not going to be the $1 million that's coming through. It depends on what it is that's in alignment for you or what you're supposed to be experiencing within your reality, right? What I say about this time period, which when I was writing these notes, it came to me and I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting how they're giving it to me, right? How I'm seeing it, the conceptualization of it. But if you think about that cinematic kind of, the movie that's going to get all of the awards, that's going to have that very faded ending to it, the climactic ending, and you're like, what just happened? If you have any remembrance or knowledge or awareness of the movie Gone with the Wind, when at the end, Rhett Butler says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And the movie ends, psh, right? It just fade to black. And everybody's standing there going like, but Scarlett's got dirt all over her face and her dress is in soots and tatters and everything. And you have this ending that you're like, wait, this is how it ends? Wait, this is how it goes, right? This is the cinematic climax to what is taking place, right? So it's these faded new beginnings that happen over these intensified or climactic endings, which is why I keep saying, don't pay attention to the outer reality. Stop watching what Trump is doing because it has no impact on your reality. When you're not watching the outer reality and you're not paying attention to the TV and you're not on social media because social media is just stealing your energy. It's stealing your energy, right? It is taking your time. It's feeding your mind and it's stealing your energy. Don't do it. I mean, if you're going on there to share and post your pictures, do that and get off, right? If somebody sends me something in the messages and chat, I'll pop in to answer them. And then usually I tap on my feed to see if, like Loretta posted or anything, or like, Rob or anybody else, or Arlene posted anything, or Sue, or anybody that's, actively posting. And if it's not in my initial feed when I do that, then I'm off and I'm on to bigger and better things than Instagram social media, right? But when we're stuck there and we're scrolling through and we're, constantly giving our attention to it, we're not giving our attention to our inner being. And that's the problem with social media. It's specifically built into the matrix system in that way, right? To target our attention so that we're not focusing attention within and creating the dynamic of the reality that we're desiring to interact with. Right. So we're in this state right now with these outer planets at play. And Pluto, which is the wrecking ball, right? We talk about Pluto all the time. It's coming in with a new evolutionary tone to it, right? So it's almost like, the wrecking ball, right? It's almost like I don't even know what those balls are, but there's like balls that have like this melody in them. If you know what I'm talking about, either come on and tell me or drop it in the chat, but they have this tonal ringing to them. I can't think of the name of them. I can't think of the name of them, but they so you use them. Right, you use them in your hand. It's like a meditation, and as you're using them, they're giving off a tone. It's almost like a meditative tone. Bokeh balls, or there's something like that. Anyway, that's what Pluto is coming in with, right? So the wrecking ball itself is this big harmonizing tonal frequency wrecking ball, right? And so it's not coming in with the idea of knocking it down and offering nothing in the exchange. It's coming in with the idea of knocking it down and then imparting healing and these healing frequencies back in so that we can all benefit from what it's doing. Right, the shift that it's creating. And Pluto is the outermost planet of all the planets. Okay, so very, very powerful. Then Neptune is closer to us, and Uranus is the next one that's closer. So those are the three outer planets, and those outer planets create the planetary change. The inner planets are. If we set the stage with the inner planets, right? Like a Venus in like in it doesn't like to be in a fire sign because it's about love, right? It likes to be flow like it like to be in Cancer. It likes to be in like Taurus, right? That's its sign. It likes to harmonize, it likes to be harmonized. So if you think about the, actors on a stage, the character of Venus, love, is dressed up like Cancer. It's dressed up like Taurus. And that's how it's going to play out the idea or aspect of love, right? That's how astrology really works. So when we talk about astrology, it's not cut and dry, because it's like actors and costumes on a stage and what is going to be transacted or enacted during the process of the shift. Okay. So this is complete transformation through reclamation. And what are we reclaiming? We are reclaiming our identity and our authenticity. And how often in the past did we talk about authenticity, right? We t integrity, authenticity, transparency, right? Wanting to really build to the identity of who we are and what we are about, right? So Pluto, the wrecking ball, is setting the agenda for the consciousness shift of the Earth. Then we have Neptune giving it meaning, because Neptune is very psychic, it's very flowy, right? So it's going to give it the meaning. So we have Pluto setting the agenda, we have Neptune giving it meaning, and then Uranus, which is the shake up and wake up, it gives it life, because it's like the magician pulling the carpet out from under everybody, right? It wants change. I'm not waiting for you. I'm gonna change it now. Give me that carpet, right? Give me that tablecloth. And it creates the change immediately. Loretta said the supply store is Granger, but I just remembered it's also Tractor Supply. So if you put all of those together, that's what Rural King is like. They sell baby chicks, baby bunnies, like all kinds of livestock stuff. You know, it's a very interesting store. So anyway, get back on track. The themes that we're going to be looking at, that you really need to write these down. These are important, okay? Every one of us is going to be playing out these themes. Surrender. I'm sorry, but where have I heard that term before? Surrender. That's a big one, right? We've talked about that a number of times. We have to surrender in order for something to shift. We have to let go in order for something in our life to shift and reinvent ourselves. So, where can we reinvent ourselves? How does that look? What does that feel like? Okay. And if you can't see it, that's okay, because some of us can, some of us can't. Some of us, you know, feel into, some of us don't, and that's okay. Write it down and then let yourself sit in meditation to it. You don't really have to do much, because it's coming for you regardless, right? Renewal of self through new adventures. Where could you have a new adventure? What experience can you allow yourself to have, right? Like when I went to England, I was going to stop myself from going. I wasn't going to go, because I thought that feels so big. Like, I don't know. Do I want to travel to England? Like, I have to deal with suitcases and I have to deal with a plane flight for 6 hours. And it felt so big. And I found my ego wanting to talk me out of it, because it felt so big, right? But then when I got there and I was in the company of my hosts, who were the most magnanimous and generous people I've ever met, I was like, I almost missed this adventure because my ego thought it was too much for me to handle, right? It was, oh, the flight is going to be 6.5 hours. And then what if it gets delayed? And then, right? On and on and on and on it went. So, where can we have those new adventures? And sometimes a new adventure doesn't mean going anywhere in particular. It may mean picking something up and doing something differently than you've always done, right? Debbie sent me some really beautiful pictures of her new pottery that she just made. And guess what? She made a lid for one of them. That to me is considered a new adventure. You're adventuring out into the unknown and now lid making. And so it doesn't have to be a trip to England, right? It could be something that is more simple in its dynamic. And it could be something that you realize, hey, now everything needs a lid because I love lids, right? And you make lids until you don't love lids anymore. And then you're like, okay, I think I'm done with lids. And then you turn around and you're like, oh, I want to make this. And suddenly you're making something else, right? And now you're on to a new adventure. So it's as simple as that. We complicate it. Okay, we complicate it. Arlene is looking to do a podcast for her ministries because she's in the process of getting certified to be a reverend to officiate weddings and whatnot, right? This is a new adventure for her. Whatever that's going to look like, that's what is needed in this moment now, right? You're all going through stuff. I hear from each one of you in various times and moments. Some of you are, doing stuff that's taking you on new adventures. What does that look like? How does that land for you? So it's about giving yourself the freedom through surrender to reinvent yourself where you thought you couldn't possibly reinvent yourself because what is there to reinvent? But yet there is. Okay. And so this is where we get to now experience something completely different and look at what is it that I have at my availability that I can truly place value to that absolutely makes me sing, that makes my heart happy, that makes me feel so much joy that I would like to create or I would like to do or whatever. Okay. And this is where the energy is taking us. It is taking us to destiny. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be missed. So,
this is very appropriate. I've got a bit of a cold. I think it's funny. Most people wouldn't think it's funny, but I broke my wrist
oh.
on Saturday. That's why I held up my arm at the beginning of class when you're saying how proud you
Oh my goodness.
were. But it just goes with what you're saying. Like, about Drew, he had his appendix out, and then I broke my wrist. And Terry has been swamped with work. And so it shifted everything. This week shifted absolutely everything. So Terry has been put into the total caregiver role. I've been completely taken out of the caregiver role. And on Sunday, well, actually, it started Saturday night. I had signed up for a storytelling workshop. And the first thing they did on Sunday morning for the workshop, I got to learn how to paint a buffalo.
Yes, I
So,
saw that.
I'm actually really happy about everything that happened this week, which is so ridiculous.
But do you see how when you were forced to surrender because you broke your wrist, it gave you a new experience, right? And
Absolutely.
the buffalo
Absolutely.
is very high vibrational animal. Okay. So it gave you a new opportunity to explore an adventure, something maybe you wouldn't have done. And interestingly enough, I'm sure it's kind of slowing you down with the herbal stuff a little bit.
Well, actually, I made some Yarrow glycerite today.
Okay. All right.
It's not slowing me down as much as I thought it would, partly because I've been taking so many herbs in. But
Okay.
it's just like it shifted everything, and it's just like everybody has shifted in my reality, and it's been a wonderful experience, and I just wanted to tell people that because last class we were talking about how, everything has its purpose. And even when it's not so pleasant for a human, like it could just open you up so wide, and it's so heart opening, everything that's happened this week. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
Well, it's funny too that you painted the buffalo because buffalo are about abundance, right? And they're a larger energy, right? It's unpredictable. It's an unpredictable being, right? A buffalo is unpredictable.
Very, yeah, very.
So I look at buffalo energy as opportunity to be unpredictable with abundance. So I feel like for you, what it's asking you to do is surrender. And I know this is going to sound crazy for just a minute, but surrender the herbal stuff for just a minute and do what is easier. Okay. What is more practical. Okay. And because a lot of times, I mean, if you think about it, right, we try to push ourselves because this is what we think we should be doing. And then we push ourselves and it's either not like showing up in the way that we want it to show up or whatever. So with the buffalo energy that you painted, coming into that, it's a great animal totem to sit and meditate on because it's about the ability to manifest abundance through right action, okay, and really allowing yourself to surrender into that unpredictability. Because we don't know why you're breaking your wrist, right? But it puts that hand out of commission, and suddenly it puts you in a new frame of reference within life. And so it's asking you, okay, what else can you do? Like, what else could you do that could make you feel content that you don't have to, work as hard with the herbs right now, right? Like, what else could you do?
Your herbs are just for me.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes the universe wants us to take a break with that too, because maybe there's an over focus and we're not paying attention to something that we need to take a look at, right? The hand, the wrist, any joints that we have in the body, joints are about resistance. Okay. So when we look at the joints, we have to look at where we're holding resistance. Like, what is it that we're holding resistance to? And then we're looking at the hand that is now incapacitated because the wrist is broken. Right? Makes sense. And then we have to look at that and say, so that hand, I'm assuming it's
It's my last.
your left hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. So the left hand, and then we look at that and we say, well, where might we be holding on to the past that we're needing to let go of what is taking place in the past, right? Where are we holding ourselves to something? And maybe it's the limitation of the identity of the herbs, maybe, right?
Or the house.
Well, it could be that, but you're not breaking your wrist because you need to get out of the energy of the house, right? The wrist represents movement and the ease to which the hand can hold on to things, right? Hands are used for creation. Okay. So what I want to say is where are you holding on maybe too tightly? We kind of did have a dynamic with this, with the identity of herbalist and botanical formulation and all of that sort of stuff, right? And I know for myself, and I can only speak to my for myself, but sometimes I've had to let go of the herbal stuff. And for I don't know how many years, I wasn't really doing anything with it. For probably 7 years, I wasn't doing anything with it. I wasn't making any herbs. I wasn't using any herbs, right? Sometimes we can get caught up. We can get too tied into something, and then we're like in this the wheelhouse where we just keep cycling around and around and around, right?
Well,
So,
I've been doing more writing lately, actually.
okay.
Even though this is broken, I can still type and I can still write by hand.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's asking you to slow down the process of the making, because both hands are required in the making, right? And it's the experience, right, that is within the hand energy, the experience of what we're creating, because it's tied to past. For me, it's coming up botanicals for you. And maybe it's asking you to switch hats for a moment. And maybe it's asking you to do more writing, right? Which for me is tapping into that organic sense of self that has the potential to expand heart consciousness through creation, right? Not that the herbs don't do that, but this is different. This is deeper. This is within. This is heart level, right? This is consciousness coming through. And then, of course, the creation, the creative art, the painting of the buffalo. And I already said what the buffalo represents. So, I would look at that. I would sit with that, because this, again, our destiny is calling us. So there's something here for you, Sue, that needs to be unpacked. And I would sit with that, sister, because This feels very powerful.
Well, I sure like getting my fingers mucky in the paints. I like finger painting, not with a brush.
Okay. Well, did you
I
have
figured that out this week. It's like that's what I love to do as a kid.
you discovered something new? So I say go with the flow on that and do more creating in that nature and do not lead yourself. Everybody here, listen to me. Do not lead. Let the energies lead you. Okay. When I don't know what it is I'm supposed to do or where I'm supposed to go, I step back and I surrender. I'm very good at just being, right? And then I get the call, the message, whatever, and I know exactly what it is I'm supposed to be doing. Okay. We can't know that if we're not in a state of surrender. And if we're constantly in the mind, if we're constantly in the thinking state, we're not going to get it. Because thoughts are those belief systems floating around, right? And then you're a match and you're wearing all of it. And then you're ruminating in the mind because it's all sticking to you because it's a vibrational match. Right? If you are in your mind, you're not present. If you are thinking, you are not present. If you are thinking, you are in the matrix programming. When we surrender to what is, right? And I'm talking to everybody here. When we surrender to what is, you will find I'm having a lot of these very, very profound moments where I catch myself and I realize I don't know how long I was doing this for, but I had no thought in my mind. That is strange, right? It feels strange not to think a thought, not to have a thought, like there should be a thought there. But no, because when you are conscious and you're in your creator consciousness, you're not being driven by the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind is tied to the program of the matrix. So the more you become conscious, the less you will find yourself in that thinking state that is, needing to have the constant flow of thoughts. Because thoughts are filler. That's all it is. It's filler. It's not helping us, right? So we have to get clear and we have to get really conscious about that. Any questions on that? Lasagna said no. He has no questions. Anybody else have any questions? No? Okay. All right. Hopefully, it's because everybody understands the magnitude of this because it's a very powerful, powerful time that we're in. Okay. And the dynamic of that is really critically important because this is really an incredible time for shift on the earth. Tamara?
Last month in March, we said this wasn't the time like to move forward with anything. Is that still now in April or?
No, April is when we want to do this because the solar eclipse is on the 30th, right? So it's, I think, what is that, Saturday? Saturday is the 30th. So we want to make sure that we're stop, like, okay, we're surrendered. So we're not trying to figure it out. We're not trying to push it forward. We're not trying to make something happen. We're surrendered. We're in surrender state and we're paying attention to what is presenting in our reality that we need to take a look at. Okay. And so these are the things that are important right now. April, because of the energy of April, April is a time to move forward because the solar eclipse will have happened in Aries. And so April will be highly aspected for moving forward in our life. We have been in a state of cocoon. We're going to go back to the state of cocoon when Neptune dips back into Pisces on October 22nd. So from October to January of next year, we're going to go back into that kind of void feeling, right? Like where we're going to feel like we're in the cocoon. So now, from now, April until October is where you want to be focusing your attention, paying attention to the energies that are presenting, paying attention to what is transpiring in your reality, okay, and seeing what is pulling you to take a look at it or take an adventure or what is calling you to align yourself with it, right? It could be like something like Sue all of a sudden takes this finger painting class and now, it's sparking more of her creativity and she's feeling more inclined to writing. So she's doing that on the computer because she can type things out. This is where we're allowing ourselves to be in a state of surrender so that we get called into action. We're not making it happen, right? Because when we're making something happen, we're overthinking it. And then when we're overthinking it, we miss the mark. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Dreams. Dreams are going to start to seem more real. Okay. The more we get into this year and next year, they're going to seem very, very real. Like you're going to wake up and it's almost going to be confusing to you the reality that you're in, like when you're waking up, right? Because it's going to feel that real. So, and if you're somebody that remembers your dreams in the beginning of this, you might not remember the dream because you're actually interacting in another reality. And because you're interacting in that reality, you leave it quickly to come back here. You're not going to remember the dream, okay? Because you're actually in another reality, acting out what is. Intuition, insights are going to become more potent. You're going to notice more intuitive moments, right? Or more insightful moments. It's very important to pay attention to this and not discount it because it's how you activate and open to higher states of consciousness. All right. So when we're activating, when we're aligning ourselves, we're opening to higher states of consciousness within. All right. So very, very important to make sure that we're in awareness of that because now we are being impacted by Neptune. Neptune is in Aries. Aries wants to move forward. Aries is a fire sign. It does not like to sit still. Okay. And so Neptune energy in Aries is very, very interesting because Neptune is dreamy and flowy, and Aries energy is like, well, we're not going to sit around and daydream all day. We're going to take this information and we're going to do something with it because that's Aries energy. Okay. So it's really important to pay attention to what is coming through so that we're having greater clarity within our experiences, right? Because this is where intuition is going to become heightened. This is a very powerful time that we're in. Now, throat chakra. Many are going to be activating the throat chakra. It's another pathway. It is the fifth chakra, right, in the body. Fifth energy center, fifth you call it dimension, consciousness, okay? Portal into the divine, portal into the higher aspects. As the third dimension starts to really just collapse altogether, right? That is the sign for you. Don't look, don't watch, don't peek. Doesn't matter. Let it go, right? We know it's going to happen. That your lower reality is falling away. We want to make sure that we're finely tuning our higher chakra states of consciousness, okay? And the throat chakra, because it's got our willpower, right? And our willpower, our power to move ourselves forward, our power to be sovereign, our power to be authentic, our power to surrender. Right? We want to make sure that we're standing in that power and we're using our throat chakra in the way that we need to use our throat chakra because it is a portal to higher consciousness. You might find yourself throughout the day humming, right? That's because the throat chakra is activating. That portal to higher consciousness is activating. Okay. So if you find yourself humming, kudos, right? Because that's something that we're going to do. But you can also take the initiative and hum, use your throat chakra, right? You can, Right, Rob is acknowledging this. This is hitting home for him. And start to work with the throat chakra because there's a lot of people right now who are getting sore throats or like I had laryngitis for a bit. It was unavoidable because of the upgrade that I was going through. But there are a lot of people that are getting laryngitis or that are getting a really bad cough or something like that, okay? We want to make sure that we're taking care of that throat chakra. I was clearing a lot of distortion from the last few years, mostly like the last 2 years, and then especially like the last 6 months. I was clearing a lot of that distortion through my throat, which is why I ended up losing my voice because it was like a complete upgrade there. Okay. If you start to feel that, start to do some humming, right? You can just do regular humming, or you can play with vocal toning. Okay. Vocal toning is great. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy, right? You can just make sounds, right? And just let yourself experience those sounds. Okay. The throat needs to be activated. It wants to be activated. You can om, right? Loretta's asking about om. You can om if you want to om. You don't necessarily have to do a mantra, but if you want to do an om would be great to do. But if you don't feel called to do that, just do some humming. Right? Different tones. You just want to move that energy. It does, you don't have, doesn't have to be anything fancy. Okay? Just moving the energy. We want to move that energy because the backside of the throat is the backside throat chakra, but it's also in that connection to the indentation that's at the occipital of the back of the head, which is the mouth of God. Now, we want to keep the back of the neck clear because that occipital area, the mouth of God, is where we take in the word of God, right? So when we're having moments of intuition, it's coming in through that area. So it's very important for us to maintain the health of our throat chakra right now, okay? Especially because willpower is being targeted, and we need to make sure that we're keeping our pathway clear. The more we keep the pathway clear, we've worked so much in the heart over the last couple of years, right? You should all be versed in doing that. But now we want to work in the throat chakra. We'll be moving to the third eye. We'll be moving to the crown. We really want to keep these pathways open so that we can have that connection to our divine self. All right. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. You can use anything you want. If you rather sing, put on a song and sing, you can do that too. Okay. It's really just about moving the energy. And that's what we want to do. We want to, oh, excuse me. We want to move the energy so that we are accessing that state of 5D consciousness. Okay, because that's the fifth energy center represents that. And it's where we speak our truth. So we always want to make sure we're speaking our truth. And we want to make sure that we keep that energy pathway clear. Okay, does that make sense? Does anybody have any questions? But you have to remember when, if we're trying to access our higher states of consciousness, right? Like, especially our higher self, we're going to do that at the point of the ascension column, right? This is old work. We ascension column, the width of the shoulders, right? We're ascending our frequency, and then the higher self is descending itself, and then we meet, connect, and pull that in and integrate that into our field. Okay. But if we're not keeping those centers clear, then we're not able to clearly be a receiver to our higher self energies. So I hope that makes sense to you guys. All right. So anybody have any questions? No? Okay. Do anybody have any topics they want to play with while we're, you can either message me or you can come on and connect. I know if anybody is looking to do a little bit deeper work with like meditation and connecting in, Arlene has a class that she's running for. How long are you doing that for?
Oh, do you mean the vocal one that I'm doing? Vocal toning one? Like the one that I'm
The
doing in
one,
April?
yeah, the one that's going to run successively for, I don't, what is it, 8 weeks?
For 6 weeks, yeah.
Six
So be
weeks.
every Tuesday from
Okay.
April 8th till May 13th is the last one.
Okay. Yeah. So if anybody is interested in doing that one, I think the exchange on it works out to like $63, and it's a 6 week course. So if anybody's interested in doing that, it's mindfulness. You can just connect with Arlene for that. Anybody doing anything? Anybody out there doing anything else that they want to share? If you do, just come in. Let's have a conversation. Anybody have any questions about anything that you're curious about that you would like help with? We still have like a half an hour of class left. And I feel like if there's something that you want to chat about, we could use this time to like have a Q&A, because we really haven't done that in a while. And so anybody that's having any questions, Sue?
Not even sure how to answer this question, but I don't know what if any of the women in this group ever experienced this, but when I got my period, when I was, well, when I had my period, I would get like really sensitive skin, like on my back. And like, I think it was nerves, right? Like, nerves were activating. But it, like, I can't even describe what that feeling is, but I'm starting to feel that feeling. Like, it's going all over my body now. Like, it started a few months to a year ago. And like, it's not a bad feeling, it's actually kind of a good feeling.
Yeah, it feels like
So,
Kundalini activations for you.
oh, okay.
Yeah. Feels like Kundalini activations. Because when I mean, this is really old work now, we're going back, but when Kundalini activates, it usually rides up the spine. And because of the nature of Kundalini energy, because it is associated with the nervous system, it will almost feel like that gamma energy when you get the tingles or you get that the itchiness of the back. Sometimes it could be some pain too. I know I went through a period where my spine felt kind of like jelly. It was almost hard to sit for long periods of time, you know. So it feels like Kundalini is what you're talking about. And that can activate, like, you know, through menopause and hormonal and all of that sort of stuff. So as we're all activating in different ways too. Kundalini will activate different ways for all of us. Does that make sense? So, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Rob is saying there's a lot of ghost or paranormal things going on, pictures falling, drawers opening, voices, not just me, but everyone around me. Oh, is this happening at your house or is this happening? Because what that is it's, and that's funny. It was something I wanted to mention earlier, but I kind of forgot. I glazed over it. So thank you for bringing that back around again, Rob. What many of us are going to be doing is we're going to be reaching in and out of multidimensional, really interdimensional conscious states of being, which means that you could be doing something, and out of the corner of your eye, you see a shadowed silhouette of a person opening the door and walking out the door. And what that is that's actually a version of you walking out the door in another dimension. Right? So if you think about how we talk about past life, whatever, right? Well, there is no such thing. That's another lie in the spiritual community. There's no past life, anything. People talk about soul retrieval. There's no real reason to retrieve a soul, right? Like a lot of that stuff, it's fabricated to keep us chasing the past, is really what that is. Because every reality is like layered on top of each other, right? That's how reality works. So if you're in this highest state, there's a version of you that is here in the lower state. And that version of you in the lower state may be making an action to walk out the door. And because you're third eye is expanding, you're perceiving that person as a silhouetted figure, right? We would call that an entity, when it's really an aspect of yourself that you're witnessing walking out the door. Okay. And people get that really confused with entities. Yeah, so the things that you're seeing, like when a drawer opens or something like that, it has the nature, it has the possibility, the potential to be that interdimensional play, right? But also, let me just say this because I was having this back in, oh my gosh, it's so long ago. I forgot about it. Now this is making me remember. In 2000, when I got divorced from Rob, my second husband, and moved into the apartment that I was living in Sayville, I would come home from work sometimes, and my refrigerator setting would be on the highest setting, and all my fruits and vegetables would be completely frozen. The towels in my bathroom would be on the floor, right? And so I was like, okay, so I could classify this as an entity, or I could classify this as, an opportunity for engagement with maybe an aspect of myself that is not, that's not as clued in, or that's a lower level aspect. And basically, what I did was I just commanded it to stop. I commanded it to stop. I was like, I am an awareness of what is being created here, and I am in control of my reality at all times. I am bringing my awareness and consciousness back to present moment state of consciousness, right? This is where we have to practice being conscious and being present, because when we're not, we're shifting in and out of these multidimensional states where we're having these experiences, and then it's like a it's deemed a demonic episode or an entity encounter or something like that. Okay. So I would just really practice, really, really practice being present, being so present that there is nothing else except what you are experiencing in this moment, in that state. Does that make sense, Rob? Because what's okay, what's ha 'cause what's happening here is what I'm feeling into, right? Is what's happening here is the ability to flow into these different realities. We're either, like you're ahead of yourself, either ahead of ourselves, or we're in another multidimensionality, or what. We don't want to do that because that's a splitting of the self. And any time we're splitting ourselves out, where we're not being fully present where we are, is going to open us up to some kind of circumstance or mishap or something, right? Like the accident that you had, because that was about not being fully conscious and present in that moment. There was distractions. So the more we can limit our distractions, the better our experience in our reality will be. When we start to experience these little anomalies, that's a sign that we're kind of not fully present in our body. Okay. So, and that can happen to every one of us because of the nature of these heightened frequencies, which, unless you really practice being present, can be very challenging to stay in flow with, to say the least. Okay. So, that was a good question. I'm glad that you asked it because I meant to talk about it earlier because I've been getting a lot of questions about shadow people. And really what that is that's an imprint from another timeline where you're making an action, but you're seeing the imprint because you're vacillating, your frequency is vacillating between dimensions. So yeah, so that's important to have that awareness. Because we're always in charge of everything, right? Like there really isn't anything outside of ourselves. People that talk about entities or entity attachments, they make money doing that, right? So they're not going to stop and tell you that there is no such thing as an entity. You're the entity. The entity is you, right?
I'm here. Sorry. I wasn't able to come on.
Yeah. Yeah. So
It's been really like, it's not just me. It's been happening
And I started mentioning it to a few people, and it's happening to other people, like the assistant principal in my building or the plumber, where things were shut off in the boiler room for no reason. Or like my doctor's office, I sat down in the couch waiting for her, and the drawer of the file cabinet just slowly creeped open. So little things, and not freaking me out or anything, but it's a, I'm just noticing it.
Well,
And
it's what is coming through is it's happening because it's meant to get your attention so that you would question it, so that you could come back into vibrational alignment. Because these energies are so high, we don't want to be out of alignment vibrationally, right?
it's felt very wonky lately. Got
We
it,
want to
definitely.
stay very present because you could be having an experience driving down the road, and then suddenly, because you're not aware you're doing it, shift interdimensionally, and you cannot tell where the real road is. Okay? Please, everybody,
Oof.
be very careful with this. Okay? Be very, very careful with this because we're going to find this when people are not controlling their reality. So this is good for you because it's showing you where you need to be more present and be more in control of your reality, right?
Yeah, I like that.
And we all need that because there are those moments where we blip into another reality, and it can be pretty scary if we could be walking down the street, right, and not know where to place our foot because the depth perception is gone, because we have reality overlays, we have template overlays, and now we don't know where we're putting our foot, and that's how we end up falling and breaking something.
Would that make sense also with, like, for instance, I was running around today and I went to a store and I was standing in a store trying to figure out how I got there. And I just kind of like, I had no idea why I came there. And I thought maybe it was the concussion, but it wasn't. I was just kind of like, okay, what am I doing here? And I just left. Like, it just felt odd. Like, all of a sudden, something shifted. And I wasn't where I was supposed to be, or like, I just didn't want to be there anymore. I don't know. It was weird.
I mean, for me, what I would say is practice more presence. Be aware of your thoughts and be a gatekeeper to them at all times, so that you can be very conscious of being present, so that you're not flipping into these multidimensional states.
I get that, definitely. I don't
Okay.
want to get hit by a car again. Because I
No.
believe that's what that was.
No, we don't want you to get hit by a car. And yes, that
No,
was
no,
what
no,
that
no.
was where you, yeah. So, but again, everything happens to wake us up, right? Everything happens to give us like a nudge that says, hey, do more of this because you're doing too much of that. So do more of this, right? In order to like tighten up the field, let's say.
Yeah, that kind of the accident kind of gave me, I feel like it gave me time to realize how I kind of fell off, not the bandwagon, but I kind of fell off where I was going. I got distracted. Yeah.
Distractions are a big thing. I remember back in 2013, this woman that I was connected with on, I think I had Facebook back then. I still had my Facebook page. She was over the top, doing way too much to activate her higher states of consciousness. That 2013. Way too much, going above and beyond, like way too much. Everybody was warning her and everything. She ended up in a mental institute because she split realities so bad that she like went cuckoo.
There was a
So,
lot going on back then too. That was after the Mayan calendar 12/12 thing and everything.
It was like she split realities so bad, like people were like, oh my God, she just almost totally like disappeared from where we are here, because she can't, what's the word I'm looking for? She can't bring this reality into alignment, right? She can't conceptualize this reality as being the reality that she needs to be part of. So we need to be careful. I've seen a lot of things over the years that were pretty scary. That's probably one of the scariest ones where that happened. So practice being as present as you possibly can. And that's how we stop all that other stuff.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for asking that question. It's a very important question. So
Thanks for asking that question, Rob, because I sometimes when I'm working, especially on the computer, I see these shadows flit, and I was like, well, that's just a dimensional leak through. And then I just say, nope, just gonna ignore it, get back to what I'm doing. So thanks for that. The question I was gonna ask was, there's times when I just get like really shaky all of a sudden. And like sometimes it's when there's big energy coming, like when I felt like the dragons, my dragon aspect wanted to speak, which happened for a while. And then like light language came. But is it also like the Kundalini energy
It
or
is, and
solar energy?
yeah, and we do. I've talked about this before. We vibrate from the inside out as the body is going through the unification process. So we'll vibrate from the inside out, and that's what you're feeling. You're feeling the infrastructure, like the corpus callosum that separates the two halves of the brain, coming together. So it's all the energies working inside the body from within the body. And that's something that we've been doing for a very long time, since like 2014 or 15 or something like that. So it's an integration of the energies is what that is. But we're literally vibrating from the inside out. Yeah, it's vibrating inside the body. Loretta had asked a question. She put it in the chat and said she had a dream about rescuing children, and she wants to know if that's work she's doing on another timeline. Yes, that is. And that ties into what is taking place now. So you're having a memory or an awareness of that version of yourself rescuing the children. Yeah. And you know, with everything, Rob is asking, oh, like an earthquake disaster, probably trafficking, right? Is that what you were dreaming about, Loretta? Trafficking? Yeah, child trafficking. So we're all playing multi roles, right? Yeah, she said she woke up exhausted. We're all playing multi roles, okay? And so we all incarnate coming in here, playing different roles, and that is how we're waking ourselves up. When I was little, I played the abduction role with the galactics and allowed myself to be abducted. And there were certain aspects of that that I chose, which lined up with my issues with my relationships with men and all that kind of stuff, right? But we're all coming in here with our first primary as what the soul has chosen through the personality that we are, right? Like Maria, this is my claim to fame, like this is what I do, blah blah blah. But then there's the secondary, and then the tertiary, and then the fourth. You know, we're all playing different roles. We are all doing that. Okay, if you think you're not doing it, you are. Okay. Yeah, Sue says I've been doing that in dreams for a few years, but it's lessening. I haven't dreamt that for a few months. Yeah, usually when we have those kinds of dreams, we're dreaming that to like wake ourselves up, right? Just give ourselves some kind of wake up on that. So, and that's usually the purpose of that. Okay. Tamara?
You had said that there aren't past lives, or they are, because Dolores Cannon used to like bring people back. So I was confused about that.
I know. I know. A lot of big spiritual teachers out there say a lot of things to keep us stuck. There's no such thing as a past anything. Everything is happening simultaneously, simultaneous to now. And that's what I keep trying to tell you guys. Stop looking to the teachers, to the spiritual community out there, right? If anybody out there is making any kind of money from their spiritual teachings, I don't care who they are. They're a paid actor and they're only giving you some truth. They're giving you half truths, right? I remember years ago knowing about the secret is that they didn't give you the truth about the secret about manifesting money, right? They didn't do that. To manifest anything, you have to use intention, you have to have intention and desire. Right, two key elements missing from everything about manifestation, right? Need and want are not going to get it for you. Intention and desire do. But I remember years ago, Greg Braden, who was never ever that popular, right? He was one of the science guys that was, talking about how the world works, how the universe works, and everything else. And I remember him talking about prayer. And he said one of the biggest misnomers with the Catholic Church or any church is how they structure prayer. He said, and it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because they leave out one key factor, right? They leave out intention. They leave out desire. I mean, how many times in your life, not just you, but everybody here, right, have you had somebody say, hey, could you pray for my mother? Or could you pray for my sister, my brother, my father, my husband, my child, whatever? Could you pray for them? They're really sick. I'm really afraid. I'm this or that. And you go like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll pray for them.
You'll get more praying.
And then you don't, or you do, but you're like, oh, Heavenly Father, please bless so and so, bring them to health, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Thank you. Did that feel heartfelt in any way? No. Did that feel like a call to action in any way?
No.
Did that feel like I connected with the divine in any way? No. Why? Because I wasn't using intention and desire, right? I wasn't emoting my desire to have my prayer heard by the divine for the healing purpose of that individual. I'm just going to say this. We came in to this reality to play this human game. When we came in and we incarnated, we knew that there were going to be certain factors that were going to be set up to help trip us up so that it would get harder. It's like the game of Survivor, right? That it would be harder to be a winner at ascending our consciousness. And we knew that this was going to be the game. And so how would it be a successful game if the Matrix didn't set it up so that there would be people out there teaching what was deemed as higher level learnings that wasn't giving us the correct information? Some of it was correct and some of it not so correct. Okay? It's up to us to use discernment to figure out which information is correct and which information is not correct. This is why, in this community, I don't ask you to look to me. I never do that. I give you information. I provide information. I never claim myself an ascended master. I never claim myself to be the most knowledgeable person in the world. I claim myself to be excited about sharing knowledge and information with you to help you dive deeper into yourself and claim your sovereignty and your spiritual nature. Okay. There's a lot of teachers out there that are teaching things that are just way out in left field. And it is the entrapment program that we either bypass because we see it. Which is why I don't study anybody else's work. I never have. I tried to. It just didn't work for me, right? When I realized that mantras don't work if you don't feel and emote what you are speaking into reality, it's never going to work. You have to feel it as you speak it into your reality. You have to feel it. There's a lot of false information out there, and it's up to us to see through the bullshit. It's up to us to figure it out. So if we're looking to somebody else's teachings, as the gospel word, we're not listening to our inner guidance, which is why I'm giving you information all the time, telling you what the energies are asking us to do, how to do it, right? But I'm not telling you a philosophy I have, and this is what I want you. I'm giving you exactly what Pluto is telling you it wants you to do. I'm giving you exactly what Neptune is telling you it wants you to do. We're now moving into the state of the throat chakra. I just got another message here while we've been in the class, two messages that there have been two more solar flares, oh, three more solar flares, right? We had a minor G1. We had an M2 flare. We had an M1 flare. We had a G1 storm. We had a G2 storm. We had a G1 storm, a G2 storm, a G1 storm. This is the nature of what is taking place on the earth. Okay? It's not my philosophy. It's not my philosophy. But we can go out there and we can read the teachings of other people and get caught up in the ideology that Dolores Cannon had it all right. Well, let me share something with you that I think is hopefully going to be important to your journey. Back in, I don't know what year it was. I'm all turned around with the years, maybe 2017. There was a woman out there, and I can't remember her name anymore, who was doing the work of Dolores Cannon, right? She was doing the HHQ, RT, whatever. And she kept saying that all of her people were telling her that there was going to be this shift, that everybody was going to wake up suddenly all at one time, right? And she was all over the YouTube channel, and this is what she talked about. She was on talk shows. She was on everybody's radio podcast program and everything, talking about it, giving the date, when it was going to happen. Every single one of her hypnosis clients was saying the same thing, same information of when this wake up was going to happen. Never happened. The date came and went, and it never happened. Okay. And still, she didn't disappear. She just discounted it and went on to say another date, and that date didn't manifest, and then another date that date didn't manifest. And but the spiritual community was still willing to revere her and still willing to look up to her and everything else, right? Because they believed and trusted her from the very beginning. And if they believed and trusted her from the very beginning, and now she's wrong, and they give up on her, it means that they were wrong about her. So, do you see how people could have misinformation? It could be bad information out there, and people will still stay with that teacher because of fear of being wrong. Well, how can I have been so wrong about this teacher when it seemed like it was all going to be working out the way that they said? I'm just going to keep giving it a little bit more time and a little bit more time and a little bit more time. And then it still never happens and it still never manifests. But now we have, the stage of denial where they have cognitive dissonance. They don't want to acknowledge that the person was wrong. They're still supporting them. This is what happens in the spiritual community out there. Okay. So we have to be really, really clear on what is taking place and following our inner compass so that we're not getting caught up in the garbage that's out there. There is no such thing as a past life. There's no such thing as past anything. It's all happening simultaneously. Which is why when you dream, you're in like a Victorian era with this high collar dress on and you're having tea or what, you're really there because it's really happening simultaneous to this expression of you now. There are multi versions of you out there. The idea of past would mean that timelines break and they're concurrent, they run concurrent. It's not how the universe works, not how the energies work. Study the planetary consciousness that's out there. Study some of the science that's out there, and it will show you it does not work that way. But yet, people are writing books on it, and people are believing it and following it as if it is truth because they don't know any better. We're not going to do that. We're going to point our compass inward to make sure that we're always being led to our own inner truth. And not what is true for somebody else. So I hope that answers your question. And that's all of them. And especially those that are making money from their spiritual work, right? Anybody that is making this money from their spiritual work, run. Run fast. Okay? Because that's tied to the matrix programming. They're there for a reason. They're there to trip you up. It's built into the program of what we came here to do. Right? And then when you opt out of doing inner child work, right? What does that do? That keeps you stuck in a loop cycle of looking backward at your childhood. Is that going to help you ascend your consciousness? No, because it keeps you in the cycle of looking backward, right? It keeps you stuck in the past. It is intentional to keep you stuck in your life so you do not ascend your consciousness. But then when you decide you are not going to do inner child work, people accuse you of spiritual bypassing, right? So it's all programmed for us to play the game. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're playing the game of survivor. And how we get to the end goal is up to us. So we're taking the direct most path, and I'm giving you the direct most information that I know how to give you. I'm not giving you my stuff. I'm giving you what is, right? All right. Does that help, Tamara? That answers your question?
Yes, thank you. I'm a little confused, but I think I understand.
What are you confused about?
Because I always thought we had like we incarnated and we had like past life, even though people say it's all happening at once.
There's no past anything. There's never been a past life. It's all now. It's simultaneous now. There's multi versions of you. And if you go back to any of my teachings in the way past, we're integrating those lower realities up until now. It's like they're all folding up and collapsing up into the now. If you know anything about the timelines and how the timelines work, once we shifted into ascension in 2012, all timelines, right? If you think about all the fragments of timelines that are running concurrently, there's nothing in the past, it's all concurrent, has to now merge into each other so that we will end up with ultimately one timeline, and there will only be the one timeline for the golden age because everything will be in its highest vibrational state of alignment.
I understand now.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question on that? Okay. Sue says, I've been doing that in dreams for a few years, but it's lessening. I haven't dreamt about it for a few months. Yeah, because we get to a point where we've received what we needed to know, we've integrated what we needed to know, and then we move on. So we don't need that anymore. Okay. And Joanne is saying, please hold intention and space for my family having a very challenging time. I'm very emotional right now. Thank you. Of course, Joanne, yes, we are all going to hold the highest intention for all to resolve in the highest, best way for the good of all. And that doesn't always mean it's the outcome you desire. It means that it's the outcome that is needed for that person's experience, whatever that is.
It's more than one person. It's just very challenging right now.
Okay.
Very challenging. Thank you so much. And classes always help. Always help.
I'm glad to hear that.
We love you, Joanne.
Yep.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you. You're
Thank
the
you.
sweetest person.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I just
Sure. Yeah,
got
we're.
a lot of, like all of us, we have a lot on our plates. We have
Yeah.
a lot on our plates.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here tonight with us and receive the energy and the love from everybody sending love your way. So.
You know, and I've learned through this experience that we live in a very in a very and the world is, I don't know, it's third dimension. I feel it more and more and more.
Yes, it is. And it's
And it and
collapsing.
it's not, I don't know what the right word is, but it's not conducive to your soul.
It never was. And that's what you're figuring out now. It never was, right? It never was. But you're only just allowing yourself to realize that now. Think about that.
Because it's cruel. It's cruel. It's cruel.
Because it was built that way,
Yes. I
right?
know.
But we allowed ourselves to play in it until we don't allow ourselves to play in it anymore. So let me just finish with this because I think this is really important. And I know I've talked about this before, but I think we're going to have to repeat it 1,000 times because it's a concept that's very, very sometimes hard to receive in, right? But when you realize that you are playing a game against your mind. In other words, every thought you have eventually manifests in your physical reality and becomes the reality that your mind thinks it needs to have. That's how it works. So if you perceive and you focus on the idea of something bad happening,
Gonna happen.
it's inevitable. Has to happen because your mind is so powerful and the energies are so fast right now that it's going to happen and it's going to happen fast, right? But if you start to practice, which is why we talk about this all the time, if you start to practice the idea that we've been lied to, fooled, faked, whatever you want to say,
Absolutely.
and that the reality is not a fixed reality with limitation, the reality is born from our unconscious programming. Because that's how it works, right? It's birthed from our unconscious programming. So if you think of an iceberg, the top of the iceberg that's above the water is the consciousness. But the consciousness doesn't have the wherewithal to think for itself. It gets fed by the unconscious mind, which is below the iceberg, right? It's the unconscious that you don't see. It's the unconscious that is interacting with these belief systems. Right? You can't get away from them because they're all around us and they want us to connect with them. When we're so present, we take these belief systems and chuck them away, get rid of them. They don't factor in anymore. They have no adverse effect on us. Every day we're living in harmony with what is. We're not creating. We understand that another's pain and suffering is their byproduct of their chosen experiences.
And I am surrounded. This is my family I'm talking about, not my friends.
Yeah, we know. We know that.
I am surrounded by negativity, so I am fighting because, and thank God of the knowledge I have from this class, I have been fighting a lifetime of negativity.
But what if you step back for a second?
This is.
And what if you stopped fighting it and you stood there for a second as if you just incarnated on the earth in this moment?
Okay.
And tomorrow, when you get in front of all of them, you stand there as an observer, no past, no future. You're just there in that moment. You just incarnated now. Because sometimes when I wake up, I feel that way. I feel like I got to the planet, right? I don't feel like I had a past at all. Like I feel like I've been living here in this house in Florida my whole life, right? I don't feel like I've lived anywhere else other than the fact that I still need GPS to get around. But if I'm at the house here, I feel like I've lived here my whole entire life, right? I never lived in New York. Don't even have a recollection of it. I don't
Awesome.
remember my childhood. I don't live in the past. Okay, so it makes it easy for me to imagine I'm a being that just magically appeared here today and doesn't, I don't have a past and I'm not worried about the future, right? We talk about that all the time. Joe Dispenza is notorious for talking about that, right? So anybody that's taken a Joe Dispenza class, you know you've heard him say that. But what if you get in front of your family tomorrow and instead of dreading what the conversation is going to be, because you're creating the conversation that you will be dreading?
I've also, and I think that I'm wrestling with, I've been watching my mother virtually fade away for over 10 years now.
Okay.
It's just, and if I do what you say, if I just get up tomorrow, because she's probably soon to dying, but it's been going on for a long time. If I
Can
just get
you
up and say, it's today, I'm going from today, I'm not going back.
give her permission to go?
Okay.
Can you give her the permission to go? Or do you need her to hang on until you get sick?
No,
Do you need her to hang on
my
until you
sister.
make yourself sick from it? I
Okay,
don't care who it is, Joanne.
I know. I
You're
know.
playing the game of physical family reality. You think you have to play that game.
I don't have to play
You
it.
don't have to play it, but you're choosing to play it. But if you went there tomorrow and you step back and you said, "Oh my goodness, I'm looking at these people, and in my mind, I think that they're real because I feel like I've lived with them my whole entire lives. But what if I only came into this game in this moment now?" and I'm not attached to them. I'm not associated with them. And
Okay.
it's a game of survivor, and it's my sanity, my peace of mind, and my physical health, or them. What am I choosing?
Myself.
Am I going to perpetuate a shitty situation for myself by going to sleep tonight and thinking about the woes I'm going to encounter tomorrow, which will manifest in my day tomorrow because I'm giving focused attention to it? Or am I going to sleep tonight laughing because I know now I can choose a new reality and it'll be interesting to see myself step away from what is and create a different reality that's more higher aligned for me?
I'm going to let it go because I know we're going to end class. I just wanted to share with you that I did see my doctor. She is an alternative medicine physician. She knows my family situation, and she said, "You are the only one in your family that has sought to better yourself, that has sought to help yourself. She knows about your classes, you know, and that made me feel really good because I have tried every way and will continue to try to break away from that whole
Give
thing."
them permission to leave.
Yes. Yeah.
The
Yeah.
energies will take them.
Yeah.
Give them, you have to ask yourself, how much more of this pain and suffering do I need to hold myself to?
Correct. Correct.
It's up to you.
I know.
What reality do you want to choose?
I know. I know.
I want you to listen to this part of the class 1,000 times
I will. I
until you
will.
finally get it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Maria. I love
Right?
you all for your support. Thank you
We
so
love
much.
you too. You're
Thank
welcome.
you. Thank you.
Yeah. Let yourself cry, Joanne. You need to get it out. You need to, you need to,
It's,
you
you
need
know,
to.
it's one thing if it's one thing, but it's
Yeah,
it's
but
life.
that's how your soul, please excuse this, your human is in such resistance to letting go.
Which is
And I,
probably my hip is still bothering me too.
that's why your hip is still bothering you. So I want you to sit with that, and I want you to really surrender and let yourself come to the understanding of why am I in such resistance to letting go so I can have a better experience in my life? Why do I want to hold on to this pain and suffering?
I don't want to, I do not, but I also have to be there to help with
Okay,
what needs to be done.
but you have a choice how that help
Correct.
happens, right?
Correct.
Or holding yourself hostage. And right now,
Correct.
holding yourself hostage.
I got. Okay. Thank you.
And Sue is saying, when I shifted, my mom passed, and we have a better relationship now that she's on the other side. So,
Okay. Thank you, Sue. Thank you.
just know that the possibilities are endless for you. Okay.
Thank you so much. And you've told me that so many times before.
You got to stay in the work. Got to stay in the
Okay.
work. Be everybody, not just Joanne, everybody, be as present as you can. Be a gatekeeper to your thoughts. It's the only way you're going to exit this matrix program. I'm telling you. Okay.
Yeah, and that's why the world is like it is, because most people have not. So
Most people have not. You're correct. Yeah.
thank you. God bless. Thank you.
All
And
right.
most people think that we're crazy. That's
Most
what.
people think we're crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But we don't care.
We don't care.
No, we don't. Okay, guys, I think we're going to end here.
Thank you.
So I will put the next calendar together. Thank you all for participating tonight. Appreciate having your energy for the co-creation of this gathering. And as we go into the weekend, enjoy, have a wonderful whatever it is that you're doing. And I will see you soon. All right. Take care. Love you all. Bye
Love
bye.
you.
Love you.
Night,
Bye bye.
everybody.